joining us now is Peter Galbraith. He's the former deputy UN envoy to Afghanistan. And he's going to be speaking to us about a story that broke over the weekend. It was broken by our partner, the New York Times. They reported that Afghan President Hamid Karzai and his aides were taking bags of money from officials out of Iran. And Karzai confirmed those rumors today. According to sources quoted in the paper, Karzai's chief of staff possibly received between $1 and $2 million every other month from Iran. Ambassador Peter Galbraith joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, first of all, Karzai's response to this story coming out of the New York Times was that, look, we take money from a lot of different sources. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
So
There's a just enormous corruption there. I think it's also noteworthy that he said that this was fully transparent, which obviously it wasn't, since nobody knew about it. It may be that the only thing that was transparent about it is that perhaps the money that was given to Mr. Dawoodzai was in a clear plastic bag.
Well, okay. So between $1 and $2 million every month from Iran, is that excess? I mean, that seems like a lot of amount of money. Is that an excessive amount, or are there other countries that are possibly giving more?
Well, the United States has been giving money to top up the salaries of people who work in the on the president's staff and perhaps in some of the government ministries, the theory being that Afghan salaries are low. They want to attract expatriates to come back and work there, and they obviously aren't going to work for somebody from the U.S. isn't going to go work there for a couple hundred dollars a month. But the practice is, in fact, I think, just wrong. We would be outraged in the United States if any foreign government was supplementing the salaries of President Obama's staff. And also, it's just part of a culture of corruption there. Certainly, these people are not just getting money from governments. They're getting money from people who want favors from the Afghan government. And the amounts that came from Iran are staggering. And Mr. Dawoodzai, according to the New York Times, during the time that he's been President Karzai's chief of staff, seems to have acquired five or six villas in Dubai.
You know, Peter, I love this detail about the clear plastic bag because it suggests that the Afghans are saying, I don't want any of that worthless Iranian currency in there. It better be all hard euros or dollars, right?
Well, certainly they would want to have it in euros or dollars.
it just seems like such a the coin of the realm over there is this kind of transaction.
Well, this is just part of a larger picture, and you have to imagine how discouraging this is for the Afghan people. The way in which they experience government is through abuse of power, local officials operating with impunity. They encounter a policeman. They're very likely going to be shaken down for a bribe. They saw that Karzai secured his second term by stealing the election. They've just gone through parliamentary elections that were, if anything, more fraudulent than the presidential elections last summer. They see that there was a run on Afghanistan's largest private bank, the Kabul Bank. They know that Karzai's brother got a 7% interest in that bank essentially for free. The bank was then bailed out by an amount of money equal to half the Afghan national budget. Mr. Karzai, unfortunately for him, is also a U.S. citizen, and so he may well be indicted for having failed to report his income from using that money to acquire a villa in Dubai, which he flipped at a profit. This additional information, I mean, it has to increase the disgust that Afghans feel about the government. And that's a big problem for us, because that government is our partner.
Well, Peter Galbraith, let me ask you something. I mean, the Afghan government is supposed to be looking into corruption, allegations of corruption on the terms of election officials, allegations of corruption on the part of regional administrative officials, police officers. How are they supposed to prosecute a police officer for taking a bribe if the government is, to all intents and purposes, taking bribes of their own?
In Bob Woodward's book, the Obama administration team described Karzai's government as a criminal syndicate. And I think that is a correct description. there's no way you can expect a policeman who is the face of the Afghan government to be honest if everybody in the trail above him, including the president of the country, are crooks. That just isn't going to happen.
Although nobody believes that Afghanistan's government is some kind of Sunday school, I'm just wondering if the U.S. hasn't created the template for this with its own bags of money and paying off warlords and, involvement or at least looking the other way on the heroin trade.
Well, I think we've contributed to it. We've engaged in exactly the same kind of practice that, well, not exactly the same, a similar practice to what the Iranians did. I presume that the payments that we've been making to the presidential staff have been accounted for, but they are not payments that come from the regular budget. Yes, we've been hiring various Afghan security companies and contractors who are associated with warlords. We've been fueling this. We've been fueling a corrupt government. But the problem we have is strategic. We have a counterinsurgency strategy that, as its architects would tell you, depends on having an Afghan partner. And the Afghan partner is essentially, in the words of the Obama administration, a criminal syndicate. And so there's no way that that can be a credible partner. And if we don't have a credible partner, the strategy can't work. And so we have 100,000 troops committed to a strategy that just isn't going to work. And because of the corruption, just to take one other point, this isn't, it's not to say that the Afghan government is not Sunday school. I don't know any government that's Sunday school, maybe in Scandinavia, but no place else.
You're getting yourself in such trouble today, Peter.
Scale.
Well, let me ask you quickly, Peter Galbraith, how much influence does $1 to $2 million every other month buy you? What is Iran's horse in the game?
That's a good one.
Well, I would think it buys you a lot of influence if you're paying off the people around the president's staff. Now, it isn't a lot of money in terms of the Afghan economy, but it is a lot of money for the key decision makers. And if it's true that Mr. Dawoodzai has acquired six villas, obviously not all of this has been going into funds to operate the president's office.
No, it appears to be going into funds for a swimming pool, maybe. Peter Galbraith, former deputy U.N. envoy to Afghanistan, thanks for joining us.
Good to talk to you again.